Hey there, welcome to this episode of Right Through Now, where we keep ourselves informed with world events, you know, interesting stuff that's going on in the world, some added commentary. Let's see what's up in the world. Right, France's Nicolas Sarkozy convicted of corruption, sentenced to jail. Former French president was sentenced to a year in prison and a two-year suspended sentence for trying to illegally obtain information from a magistrate. All right, from the US, our good friends Donald and Melania Trump quietly got vaccines this last month, reports say. Unlike other officials, the then president and first lady did not receive their shots on TV. Donald and Melania Trump received their coronavirus vaccine before leaving the White House, according to multiple news reports on Monday. I mean, the interesting bit here is that, you know, most politicians have taken the COVID jab publicly and, you know, try to be, you know, as encouraging to the general population about vaccines as possible. But this is Donald Trump we're talking about. Let's see what else is up. So I don't know if you remember, but a couple of years ago, there was this news story of an immigrant in France who was able to rescue a child. And there was this wild video where he just climbed the side of the building and rescued a child from a balcony. I think he even got offered French citizenship, as a matter of fact, after that day. But, you know, every once in a while you get these news stories, similar news stories from around the world. And today there's another one, another episode of bravery has occurred. Let's see what's going on. Superhero delivery driver catches toddler falling from 12th floor balcony in Vietnam. "Luckily the baby fell into my lap," quote, says 31-year-old in Hanoi who climbed onto a roof to get a better view of dangling child. A superhero delivery driver in Hanoi has saved a 2-year-old girl who fell from a 12th floor balcony. Nguyen, I have no idea how to pronounce his name. My fault. But it's spelled Nguyen, so I'm guessing this is Nguyen Ngoc Man. 31 was sitting in his car waiting to make a delivery at 5 p.m. on Sunday when he heard a child crying. He told the Anantudo news organization. A woman started screaming and he stuck his head out of the window to see what was going on. I mean, it's really cool that people are so freaking alert and amazing. And, you know, just generally being aware about what's happening around you. It's just, I think even that is like a lost skill at this point. Let's see what else is going on in the world. Oh, thousands of North Queensland homes without power as Cyclone Nirin intensifies. This is interesting. I mean, just the other day I was mentioning this is not necessarily this incident, but in the broad term, this is what's going to happen. We're going to see more of these isolated incidents as and when climate change progresses, because it's not just an overall increase in heat. It's that every individual weather event is just going to be more and more amplified and on steroids. Seems to be an example of that, though. A tropical cyclone is churning off North Queensland's coast, leaving thousands of homes without power and heavy rain, causing floods in some areas. The cyclone is expected to continue moving slowly to the northeast during today before becoming slow-moving or drifting back slowly to the west this evening into Wednesday, the Bureau of Meteorology said. Nirin is expected to continue intensifying over the next day or two. A gale warning has been issued for coastal and inland island communities between Cape Flattery and Innisfail, with gusts up to 100 kilometers an hour expected by Wednesday. And if you're following the news, you'll notice that also this was a similar case. Well, actually, it was an ice storm in Texas that has wrecked quite a lot of damage, rendering even the drinking water undrinkable in quite a few parts of Texas. So, yeah, completely different, unrelated events, but there is a connection for sure. All right, here's another bit of interesting news. Stop doing anal COVID tests on our citizens, Japan tells China. Anal swabs cause, quote, great psychological pain, end quote, says Japan's chief cabinet secretary. Tokyo has requested Beijing to stop taking anal swab tests for COVID-19 on Japanese citizens because the procedure causes psychological pain. It's psychologically painful to even say this. I 100% agree with you, Japan. Because the procedure causes psychological pain, continues, a government spokesperson has said. Well, okay, I'm going to try not laugh. Johnson trying to set up charity that could fund number 11 flat revamp. Number 10 does not deny reports that scheme could cover costs of works by PM's fiancée, Carrie Simmons. Downing Street is trying to set up a charity that could cover the cost of the refurbishment of Boris Johnson's flat, which he shares with his fiancée, Carrie Simmons. A number 10 spokesman could not deny reports in the Daily Mail that the Primary Minister is attempting to set up a charity where benefactors can contribute to the upkeep of Downing Street. Wow. Okay. Let's see what's going on in New Zealand. New Zealand's COVID baby boom, where familiarity didn't breed contempt. Lockdowns may have had an anti-baby boom effect in some parts, but Kiwis appear to have made the most of close quarters. One of the early observations made by the internet wags was the prediction that 9 months after lockdown, there would be a baby boom. The theory goes that suddenly being forced to spend weeks at home would ignite the passions of those interned in a way that a normal Saturday night on the couch watching reruns of Friends might not. The COVID baby boom was predicted to be like the period after the Second World War, where soldiers returning from the front were delighted to be back in the bosom of their home country with all the comfort that that brings. Okay. City firms made plans in Brexit run-up to move assets worth £100 billion, even, to the EU. What else is up? Lady Gaga's dog walker describes close call after he was shot in robbery. Yeah, that happened. Lady Gaga's dog walker, who was shot last week during a robbery in Hollywood when two of the singer's French bulldogs were stolen, has described the violence and his recovery from a very close call with death in social media posts on Monday. Wow. His posts included pictures taken from his hospital bed where he says a lot of healing still needs to happen, but he looks forward to reuniting with the dogs. Yeah. I mean, who steals dogs? Stealing celebrity dogs? That's like, I don't know, man. But I have mad respect for Lady Gaga, incidentally. I mean, she's done a show with Metallica, and it sounds ridiculous, but it was freaking amazing. I'm not a huge Lady Gaga fan myself, but if you are, I totally get it. 100%. Let's see what else is going on. Okay, there's a news article. Okay. Australian senator calls to recognize China's treatment of Uyghurs as genocide. Independent Rex Patrick moves after similar parliamentary motions passed in Canada and the Netherlands. An Australian senator will seek support from fellow upper house members to recognize China's treatment of the Uyghur Muslim minority as genocide after similar parliamentary motions passed in Canada and the Netherlands. I believe Netherlands was the first country to kind of officially recognize the aspect in which China is treating the Uyghur Muslim minority. Canada joined suit, and now it looks like Australia is going to be there as well. The interesting thing is that there's a chemistry between China and Australia that the rest of the world doesn't really understand. I mean, the point is that not a lot of shit is made in Australia, and there's a very deep connection between China and Australia. And as a consequence of that, you know, it's the threads of politics are sometimes more delicate than they appear to be from the outside world. So this is definitely going to have some impact because China does not want, you know, countries or people talking about its stuff. So let's see, let's keep a pin on this and follow up with this. What else is up? All right. Global markets rally as hopes for sustainable economic recovery rise. The FTSE has gained more than 100 points after concerns over bond sell-off ease. Global stock markets rallied on Monday amid rising hopes for a sustainable economic recovery from COVID-19 and as investors' concern over a sell-off in government bonds fizzled out. The FTSE 100 gained by more than 100 points to finish the day 1.6% higher at 6,558 as markets in the US and Europe recorded strong gains after a bout of sustained selling pressure. Last week had left investors nursing heavy losses. The interesting thing is that cryptocurrencies are back on the rise again. A couple of days ago, the entire crypto world kind of faded into oblivion. And, you know, it just, everything fell down. Except Cardano, which is a cryptocurrency The code is ADA, and that was the only thing that was up, and more or less everything else was down. But now a lot of shit is green again. So if you're invested in cryptocurrency, then that's more or less good news. Let's see what else is up. Right, so why the UK's hunt for Brazil variant COVID cases is so urgent. Public Health England is facing a needle in a haystack hunt for a person who tested positive for the concerning Brazilian COVID variant, but did not leave their name and address with the test. There are a few clues to go on. Public Health England thinks it knows when the test in question was taken, and so it's asking people who were tested on 12th or 13th February, but have not received any test result, to get in touch. I think this is one of the biggest challenges of the entire COVID outbreak, just tracking people. I mean, you know, we covered this in an earlier episode as well, but this is where technologies like, you know, Bluetooth-based tracking, contact tracing, was just one of the tools that the governments have been trying to leverage. But of course, that has the negative consequence of, you know, what if even if your current government in your country, whatever country that is, if you think that government is just the best government in the world and there's never going to be any privacy leaks or whatever, your data is going to be secure because you trust one person's image, whoever's leading the country. I'm not trying to be specific here because this has actually been going on in very many countries, but of course, India as well. But, you know, what happens when the next government takes over? And that information regarding contacts is still there. And it's a matter of misuse, potentially. But in cases like this, I guess it's in everybody's interest that contract tracing be performed to the best of the government's abilities, in fact. So this is a really weird double-edged sword where either side could kill you. Let's see what else is up. Wind power company vows to help save the critically endangered California condor. A vulture threatened by giant wind turbines may be helped by energy company's breeding project. An energy company in California is teaming up with federal wildlife officials and the Oregon Zoo in an innovative project to ease the plight of the mighty soaring condor, a critically endangered species of vulture threatened by giant wind turbines in the Tehachapi. Fuck, I'm going to totally botch that name as well. Tehachapi Mountains, northeast of Los Angeles. Avangrid Renewables, which operates 126 turbines as part of its Manzana wind power project, will finance the breeding of birds in captivity to replace any that might be killed by the 252 diameter turbine blades. Yeah, I mean, this is, I guess, a second complaint to wind power, because a lot of people also report that there are some issues with vibrations and sounds, and although most of these are subsonic, they're sounds, although you can kind of perceive them, they're very low frequency and they're at the very bottom edge of most of the times of what the human ear can pick up. But this is a concern whenever, you know, these wind turbines have to be installed in different locations. They have to find out what impact they're going to have on the local flora and fauna and the people. What else is up? Let's see. Myanmar protester. I am scared, but we still have to fight for freedom. The protests must continue. Let's see. This is just a single quote from a Myanmar protester. And she says, me and my fellow protesters will fight until we get our leaders back. Yeah, I think the Myanmar thing is just ongoing, and it's going to take a couple of days or maybe even weeks before something resolves. What else is up in the world? Let's see. All right, let's take a look at what's happening in the world of science and technology. The interesting thing is killings by police declined after Black Lives Matter protests. So it looks like the movement has had positive impact. All right, let's see. Since Black Lives Matter protests gained national prominence following the 2014 police killing of Michael Brown in Ferguson, the movement has spread to hundreds of cities and towns across the U.S. Now a new study shows police homicides have significantly decreased in most cities where such protests occurred. Black Lives Matter began when Oakland, California-based activist Alicia Garza posted a message of protest on Facebook after George Zimmerman, a neighborhood watch volunteer who followed and fatally shot 17-year-old Trayvon Martin in Sanford, was acquitted of murder in 2013. Another Oakland community organizer began sharing Gaza's message on social media, along with the hashtag Black Lives Matter. The slogan soon spread, building into a largely leaderless movement against structural racism and police violence. And last year, spurred by Minneapolis police officers' killing of George Floyd, millions of people demonstrated in hundreds of BLM protests throughout the U.S. Police brutality is one of the worst things that, you know, any state can do. And I'm really happy that, you know, this movement is having effect because, I mean, intrinsically, whatever the U.S. does, the world tries to replicate. I'm not sure if the rest of the countries in the world do that intentionally, but stuff that goes on in the U.S. has, without question, impact everywhere in the world. So the fact that, organizations, governmental organizations such as the police in the U.S. are getting their shit together, that's good news for the entire world. What else is happening? Okay. People literally don't know when to shut up or keep talking, science confirms. Well, story of my life. One evening, Adam Mastrioni was reluctantly putting on his bow tie for yet another black tie party at the University of Oxford that he had no interest in attending, inevitably. Mastroianni, then a master's student in psychology, knew that he would wind up stuck in some endless conversation that he did not want, with no way to politely extricate himself. Even worse, he suddenly realized he might unknowingly be the one to perpetuate unwanted conversation traps for others. What if both people are thinking exactly the same thing, but we're both stuck because we can't move on when we're really done? End quote, he wondered. His hunch may have been on the mark. A study published on March 1 in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences USA reports on what researchers discovered when they climbed into the heads of talkers to gauge their feelings about how long a particular conversation should last. The team found that conversations almost never end when both parties want them to, and that people are very poor judges of when their partner wishes to call it quits. In some cases, however, interlocutors were dissatisfied not because the talk went on for too long, but because it was too short. Whatever you think the other person wants, you may well be wrong, says Mastrioni, who is now a doctoral candidate in psychology at Harvard University. All right, let's find out more. Okay. Oh, this is interesting. In Pompeii, archaeologists have unveiled ceremonial chariot discovery, and other news agencies have reported this as the Lamborghini of chariots that has been discovered. Archaeologists in Italy have unveiled a ceremonial chariot they discovered near the ancient city of Pompeii. The four-wheeled carriage was found near a stable where three horses were uncovered back in 2018. Experts believe it was likely used in festivities and parades, with the find described as exceptional and in excellent state of preservation. Pompeii, engulfed by a volcanic eruption from Mount Vesuvius in AD 79, is an archaeological treasure trove. I was going to go to Pompeii. I had tickets booked and everything, and that was the time that COVID-19 spread in Italy. So I couldn't go for an unrelated reason, but if I had gone, 100%, I would have put myself in risk. But as soon as this is over, I have to go. I have to go. It's just incredible what happened there. And I'm going to keep you posted. All right. A statement by the park described the ceremonial chariot as having, quote, iron components, beautiful bronze and tin decorations, as well as ropes and floral decoration discovered almost intact. They said the fragility of the materials involved made their effort particularly complex, with special techniques, including plaster molding, used to uncover without damage. All right. Let's see what else is going on. Grimes sold $6 million worth of digital art as NFTs. Grimes is Elon Musk's partner, of course. Let's read some other headlines. The Cash App's parent company is now running its own bank. Jack Dorsey, the CEO of both Twitter and Square, tweeted today that the bank is now open. What he's referring to is that now, about a year after receiving FDIC approval, Square Financial Services has begun operations. Now it's operating as a subsidiary of Square, which also owns the Cash App. I believe it's really famous in the US, but I don't know if it's that famous anywhere else in the world. News report says a folding iPhone could be coming in 2023. Rumors about a folding iPhone are nothing new, but analyst Ming-Chi Kuo, who has a very strong track record, is weighing in with information of his own. He says that Apple could be looking at a 2023 launch. Interesting. I wonder how that works out, because, you know, I think there was nothing cooler than flip phones. Call me old-fashioned, but I really believe they still have a place in the world, although I personally don't have one. Simply because it's just not practical to own one in 2021. But if you own a flip phone, fucking get in touch with me, because that's super cool. Here's something interesting. Google's predictive smart composers coming to chat apps in Pixel phones. Google kicked off a cycle of updates that started around the time it dropped the first Android 12 developer preview last week. Since then, it announced a bunch of new features for Android devices, and today it's sharing a few more improvements coming to Pixel phones. These features appear to be rolling out now and include tweaks to the Recorder app, an underwater upgrade for photography, and Smart Compose coming to more apps. I think that covers most of what I wanted to cover today. So let's see. Let's see what happens in the world over the next 24 hours. But I will keep you posted. All right, thanks for listening. See you next time. Ciao.